But yeah, so we're talking about church. And so tonight I want to ask you a sincerely genuine question. And my genuine question I want to ask you tonight is, why are you here? Seriously, why are you here sitting in this room right here, right now? There's a reason. Maybe your parents forced you to be here. Maybe I saw Owen over there point to his friends. Maybe you're here because of a friend. Someone invited you. And they said, hey, come check this thing out. Do you come here because you want to be here? You just want to come. You just want to learn. You want to try to figure out your faith. And so I've told you all this kind of stuff before, but to tell you all again, and this is not to try to call you out, but at the same time it will, I see what you do from up here. I see when you're watching videos on your phone instead of paying attention. I see when you're chatting with your friends and laughing about something that's kind of irrelevant or something that's going on. And I ask you this question today because I genuinely wonder whether or not we truly see the value of being here at church. Do we see the value of sitting in a room like this with a bunch of believers and getting together and worshiping and hearing a sermon? Do we truly understand the value that that is? Another genuine question to maybe see, how much do you pay attention? Other than the people who were on the worship team, did anybody notice we did the same exact worship set we did last week? If you did, awesome, you're worshiping. I guarantee most of you didn't. Which is, I mean, maybe it's okay. We do rotate them in and out, but do we pay attention? Why do we come? Is this meeting important to you? So today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the reason why church is important and what real church is supposed to do. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in multiple places today, and we're going to do a lot of scripture, but we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, that's after Galatians. And then we're also going to be in the book of Colossians. All right, so Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So just one book over. Ephesians chapter 4, and then if you want to have your finger in Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. But we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to go ahead and mark mine so I can flip over there in a couple seconds, but I should have already done that, you know, but that's how that goes. But Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to start in verse 1. And again, answering the question of why church. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul speaking, he's writing to the church in Ephesus. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So the first thing that I want you to see about why is church important, all right, church is important, and real church recognizes that we are commanded to be one body. We are commanded to be unified. So what does that mean? That means there are no Lone Ranger Christians. That means that we are not parts, but we are whole. That means that as we go throughout life and as we go throughout our faith, right, if you've been called to be a believer here in this room tonight, which many of you have been, if you've answered that call and you said, hey, I have moved to from belief and I have faith, if you've answered that, then here's your second call. In response to that call, go be one. Go be a part of a body. See, God has called believers to be together and to work together, to be in community. Quite simply, he's always done that. From the very beginning, you had Adam. And at that, from then on, Adam was like, and God said, no, Adam doesn't need to be alone. So he created Eve, and he created community. God is real big on community. He's so big on community that he himself is in community. God is three in one, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He himself exists in community. And so too, we are called to be a part of something that's bigger than just you, that's bigger than this youth group, that's bigger than this church, to Big C Church, the Christian faith. We're called to be a part of one body. So the first reason that church is important is because, quite simply, it's a command. It's a command from God, the same as we would treat one of the Ten Commandments. We are called to be here in church. The second main reason that we need to be in church, we need to be here in moments like this, is that we need to be taught. We need to be taught. See, what we talk about here is important. And I don't mean to sound like I'm bragging that like what I have to say is so important, because ultimately the who is talking is not the main point. Whether it's me up here, whether it's Nicholas who's been up here, whether it was Miss Deb a couple weeks ago, whether it's one of you guys up here sharing your story, I genuinely believe that God provides a message for us to hear, no matter who stands on this stage and gives it. Because, see, I think in the age of social media and YouTube and even school maybe sometimes has conditioned us to kind of tune in and out to what we think's important. Like, and I know you guys and y'all, as Gen Z as a whole, y'all are very good at doing two things at once. Like watching YouTube while you do your homework, you know? Or like, you know, just, it's very, y'all are very good at that. But the reality is, the more we do things like that, the more we split off our focus. While you think you may be able to give your best and do both, the reality is one thing gets a little more attention than the other. And we either don't really care about the YouTube or the TV that we're watching and we let that breeze through and we're really focused on our homework, or maybe you're like me and you end up paying more attention to the TV or the YouTube than what you were actually supposed to be doing, and your homework takes 3 hours instead of the 30 minutes that it was supposed to. Church is the same way. If we split off what we're paying attention to, you're going to shortchange not whoever's on this stage, not me, not Brother Ron, or whoever is speaking to you, but you're shortchanging the message that God has to you. Because the reality is this. Don't show your hands, but how many of you are actually in your Bible more than 3 times a week? And I say 3 times because you're in church too. That's my point. My point is, we're so bad about doing this on our own that we have to make the most of the times it's put right and directly in front of our face. And so if we don't pay attention when we come here, we don't do it on our own, when are we hearing from God? Genuinely, when are we hearing from God? And the answer is we aren't. This is not throwaway information. And again, to be completely real with you, there is never a sermon you will ever hear that you can't learn something from. You never know enough about this faith to quit listening. I've been doing this for 4 years. I've been in ministry 4 years. I'm semester and a half away from a master's degree in this. And there's never been a sermon that I haven't listened to that I didn't get something from, didn't learn something from. Brother Ron has a doctorate. That man knows more Bible, has probably forgotten more Bible than I know. And he listens to 3 sermons a week. My grandfather is one of my personal heroes. He's a retired pastor. And for over 20 years, this man read the entire New Testament every month. Every month, the entire New Testament. And I bet you he listens to at least 5 sermons a week on TV. What's my point? It doesn't matter who you are, where you are in your faith, there's something to learn. And for us, the majority place that we're going to learn something is here in a church. Whether that's this church or any other church, maybe you're visiting with us tonight and you're a member at another church. Church is where we get the majority of our Christian teaching from. And even if we are out on our own, like Brother Ron or my grandfather, and we're doing it on ourselves, there's still an importance to hearing a message from God. And again, maybe a sermon doesn't necessarily apply to you. I've listened to a ton of those, right, that doesn't necessarily apply directly to my situation. Maybe you're listening to a sermon on marriage, right? There was, 24 out of my 25 years where I was not a married man. And so a message on marriage didn't necessarily apply to me, like it doesn't apply to any of you at the moment. Or so we think. Because most of y'all, I'll say most, hopefully all of y'all, will be married at some point one day. Why not take notes now? Why not learn something now? About being a good parent, you learn what your parents should look like. Don't ever tell them they're doing something wrong because that won't go well for you, I promise. But you learn what a good parent's supposed to look like, what a godly parent's supposed to look like. Because guess what? Some of you are going to have kids in the future. Learn something. Take notes. Apply something to your life. Again, this matters. Let's keep reading in Ephesians. We're going to jump to verse 11. And it says this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood," or womanhood, I always insert that there, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, or carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning or craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up into love." Why does this matter? Why do we need to be paying attention and hearing what God has to say in our lives? Because if we don't, as it says here, we're going to be knocked back and forth by the world. God, y'all, if we don't know what we believe, and this is the whole purpose behind this series, if we don't know what we believe, we listen to whoever has to, whatever the opinion is out there. If you don't know what the Bible says, you don't know when somebody else says something that sounds pretty good is wrong. Y'all, we have to know. And how do we know if we're not listening? If we're not participating in the conversation? A further thing is, right, we need to grow and we need to mature. So we need to be challenged by what we're being taught. We need to be thinking about things as you get older, as you grow and mature in your faith, and you be thinking more deeply about these things of faith. And then one of my favorite things as a pastor to preach on is this first section here. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, this is verse 11, the shepherds and the teachers. Does that say to do the work of the church? To do the ministry? No, it doesn't. Verse 12 says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You know what that means? If you're a believer here in this room, you are one of the saints that is being referred to. My job as a pastor, as a teacher, is not to do all the work of this church. It's not to have all the gospel conversations. It's to teach you how to do it. My job is to take care of you. Your job is to go to the world. That's new information to some of y'all. It's new information to a lot of people in a church because they think we ought to do it all. And that's not the case. Y'all, each of us is responsible for the people in our lives. And if we're not training on how to go reach these people, we're not being equipped to go reach these people, we're missing out on what God has commanded us and called us to do. So we need to be taught. We already talked about this some, but we need to be unified. We need to be unified. Not only are we being called to unity, but we need to go the step further and we need to actually be unified. The church is called to act in unity, right? And it says this right here, right? Rather than speaking truth in love, right? From the whole body joined and held together by every joint is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We need to be working together. Real talk, the church is not unified. Big C church is not unified. Our church is pretty unified. There's not a lot of infighting or things that go on in our church, which is awesome. I brag on our church about things like that. But the Big C church is not unified. Denominations exist for a reason, right? We disagree on certain things. Other churches are not like our church, and they fight and they squabble. And they gossip and they slander. Y'all, it is my goal and my hope that when you walk into a room like this room, that you're happy to be here. That you're not looking over your shoulder to see who's talking about you. You're not afraid to face somebody that's in this room. Y'all, it's my hope and my prayer, and seriously, like, come talk to me if you don't feel this way, because that's how much I feel about it. Y'all, I hope that you feel welcome in this room. I hope that you feel welcome in this church. I hope that we are unified enough as a body that you feel like you have a place here. That's what being unified is about. We speak truth in love. We work properly and we grow together and we build ourselves up in love. Flip with me to Colossians. We're going to read more about this. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start kind of in an odd spot, but we're running out of time, so I can't read all of it. But verse 11, we're going to start there. Actually, let's back up. Let's start in verse 8. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Let me put that in modern terms for you. There is no race. There is no rich, poor. There is no popular, unpopular, and the church, there are people. And we are equal, and we love one another. Verse 12, put then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we need to be unified. We need to be taught. We're commanded to be unified. And that brings me to my next point. We need to be discipled. And when I say being discipled, that means to grow. That means to learn. That means to move away from being just a baby of faith. What that means is that you need to be challenged in your faith. And that also means you need to be corrected. Look again. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. Again, we need to be teaching. We need to be taught. We need to be challenged. And that word admonishing means to call out or to correct. I hope that this church is not just a place that, I hope you are comfortable here, but I hope it's a place that's sometimes uncomfortable because the things that are being talked about, call out your sin or challenge you to be a better believer. That's called conviction. And we've talked a lot about how the fact that conviction is a good thing. It is good to be convicted. It's not good to have shame. That's a different thing. That's when we take it too far and we let it rule our lives. But it's good to be convicted. It's good to have that feeling of like, man, God, yeah, I really need to step it up. It's good to have that feeling of like, yeah, God, he's kind of coming after me today a little bit. And God, yeah, you just made me think about a sin that I committed this week and I need to get rid of that. That's a good thing. It's good to be convicted. It's good to be called out. It's good to be corrected, even though we don't like it. We as a people, right, don't like to be called out on our failures or our insecurities. We like to be comfortable. But as much of a loving and safe space as we want church to be, it needs to be a spot that pushes us to be better. So we need to be discipled, unified, taught. And finally this, we are called to give. I'm going to flip over really quickly to Acts. If you have your Bible and you want to flip there quick with me, it's Acts chapter 4. And we're going to read about the first church that ever existed. First Christian church, anyway. There were plenty of Jewish ones before this, but first Christian church that ever existed. In verse 32, it says this. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. As many as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is a great picture of that unity we've been talking about. They worked together, they moved together, they loved one another, and finally we are called as a church to give. We're called to give. You can see here how they cherished the people enough around them, and they saw the needs around them, and they cared enough to do something about those needs around them. You had these rich people selling off homes, selling off land, so they could take care financially of the people that was around them. Now, obviously, teenagers, most of y'all probably don't even have a job. Some of y'all do, and if y'all do have a job, you very much want to keep on to that money because, you know, like, y'all don't make a ton. And so I get it. Where you're not the most financially, you know, abundant people. I'm not either. It's okay. But we do have things that we can give. We can give our time. We can give our love. We can treat people as if they're the best thing ever when they're in front of us. Y'all, as a student, I say this all the time, y'all have a ton of influence. You can give your social media and use it to do something good and awesome and amazing with and further the faith. You can give your voice and having conversations with your friends around you. Guys, there's so much that you can give. You can give a talent of using, you know, like there's all the time there's mission trips and things like that where you can go overseas and teach little kids how to play soccer if you love soccer or anything. You know, like there's anything that you can give. It doesn't have to be money. But y'all, as part of a community, as part of this church, we're called to be unified. Called to be taught, we're called to be discipled, we're called to give. And y'all, ultimately, how do we summarize that? We're called to be in community. We're called to be in community. And so I hope, guys, that as y'all go out this week and into the different things and as you go about your life, I hope that you look at church as something other than just where you go on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. You look at church as something other than, well, I just go because mama always told me that was the best thing to do, to just go and listen to a sermon. Let me just check that box, y'all. I hope that church is something that's so much more than that. That it's not about how great the music is, how great the worship leaders are. It's not about who's on this stage speaking. Y'all, you recognize what really happens at church. And y'all, you see the real need to have a real grasp of what the church actually does. Guys, I love y'all. And thank y'all for coming out in the rain and the storm and all that. We're getting into it. From here on out, we're going to talk about some real hard things that are coming up. Next week, we're going to talk about why. Why do bad things happen? Why is there evil in this world? The following week, we're going to be in big church, and we're going to talk about real identity and what does that look like. We're going to talk about some hard questions about, like, what do I do if I hate my body? How do I deal with something like transgenderism? We're going to talk about abortion, all in the same thing. All that has to do with identity. Y'all, we're getting into some hard stuff. But again, why are we getting into these hard things? Because that's what church is. That's what church does. It's a place for us as believers to retreat, to learn, to grow, to be challenged, to encourage one another, and give back to this world. Y'all, we're talking about discovering what is real. So let's do it. Let's be about it.